For March 10th, 2016, it's the Lullabot Podcast. Hey everybody, it's the Lullabot Podcast. We're up to episode 182. I'm Matt Cleave, a senior developer at Lullabot. With me, I got Mike Herschel. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Matt?
Hey, Mike, you're a front-end dev over down the road. Hey, so you just went to Florida Drupal Camp? Great, yeah?
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing.
Cool.
It was honestly the best Drupal Camp that has ever been put on in the history of Drupal Camps.
And, you know, a few Lullabots were down there, right? Given
yeah, talks, yeah, so. Yeah. We had Mark Drummond talking about responsive images, Karen Stevenson talking about just Drupal core. She was a featured speaker down there, and she gave an excellent presentation, just mostly on site building type stuff. And I consider myself a pretty advanced site builder, and I learned a lot from her session, so it was pretty awesome.
And Helena was there too, yeah?
And we had me and Helena Zubkow, who gave an awesome presentation on accessibility.
And speaking of all of the Lullabots getting together, we're going to get a bunch of them together for a podcast. And today we're talking about Tugboat.
What's Tugboat?
Well, since a lot of the Lullabots live on the water, they move boats around or... No.
Up and down to Mississippi?
Yeah, something like that. So Tugboat is a product
that... across the plains in Colorado, we're always tugging boats up and down.
Of course, yeah. So Tugboat is a product Lullabot's been working on now for a couple of years that kind of helps out the QA and the manual testing process. So we've got a few people here from Lullabot to talk about Tugboat and how it's useful in our Drupal workflow. First off, we'll talk with Lullabot system administrator. He previously worked as a sysadmin at a Drupal hosting company, and he was the Drupal expert for that hosting company. He's the original author of the simple LDAP module. It was a lot of work that he did to keep Lullabot's logins in line. He's a Husker from Nebraska, turned Texas, living in the Dallas area. Hey, Ben Chavez.
Hey, Matt.
Quick
correction. I have not turned Texan. I am a Nebraskan living in Texas.
A Nebraska living in Texas. Okay, fair enough.
So next we have James Sansbury, who is a development manager at Lullabot. He is in Atlanta, Georgia. He's been on Drupal.org for over 10 years. His user ID is in the 30,000s, which is pretty cool. His claim to fame is Drush FU, which I'm sure everybody uses on a pretty regular basis. I know I do.
He was a Drush-friendly update.
That's exactly it.
Especially Drush FU all, update. Right?
I don't know what you guys were all thinking this did for. I don't know. He gave a talk with Blake Hall and DrupalCon Austin about Tugboat or what became Tugboat, and he is known as Corbin on the interwebs. Welcome, James Sansbury.
Hey, guys. Happy to be here.
Hey, James. Also, we have Chris Albrecht.
Yes, perfect.
Chris Albrecht, he's a Lullabot developer who lives in Denver. He's been working with Drupal since 2007, and he has recent experience working with Tugboat on a few different projects. He's Keyboard Cowboy on Drupal.org and the internets, and Chris Albrecht on Twitter. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Happy to be here.
And finally, we have a person who has been on Drupal.org for over 12 years. Wow. Lots of work in the past on e-commerce module and a number of other projects like Image Assist and Tiny MCE. He implemented URL aliasing in core. He's known as MetaMat all over the web.
Guys, the boss is here. Clean your desk.
He is the CEO and co-founder of Lullabot. Welcome, Matt Westgate. Oh, and he is also the former co-host of the Lullabot podcast, Matt Westgate.
Dear Lord, who is this guy? He just runs everywhere. Can he make up his mind on what he wants to do?
Exactly.
Oh, thanks. It's good to be here. Back in my day, we didn't even have the issue queue. We just emailed each other patches to Drupal, and that's the way it was, and we liked it.
Get off my lawn.
So, guys, I'm not sure exactly who should start, but somebody needs to give kind of the 30,000-foot view. Tell me exactly what Tugboat is and what it does.
James, I feel like you should take this one because you started it.
Go for it, James.
Yeah. So Tugboat began probably about 3 or 4 years ago. We're working on a project for Intel, and they had a super savvy stakeholder there that was our main project lead, and he was just when it came down to it, he was just overbooked. Like he didn't have the time to even get his local set up to test some of the work that we were doing, And so the idea formed in my head of, well, what if I could have our work get automatically built for him to be able to look at? So I started looking around at what some of the continuous integration options were out there, and started looking into what Jenkins could offer. Jenkins is a continuous integration piece of software, and it has a bunch of different plugins for it. And one of the plugins was a GitHub pull request builder, which we were using GitHub for the project. So what that would do is you could just run any number of scripts from a new GitHub pull request, and that was really the genesis of it. So what I started to do is just write some simple bash scripts to build this particular project, you know, and then comment back on the GitHub issue with some links to be able to view the project. So any new pull request that came in, you would get a new comment with links to view what that work was. And that was really the start of it all. And I think, you know, as soon as we had that tool, we were like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. We didn't even realize how great it was going to be until we had it. And then it was just one of those things that became, we couldn't even do a project without it, it seemed like, because of how fast it made the development process go. And we realized it was way more than just an awesome tool for the stakeholders and people to QA work, but it was also an amazing development tool as well. It made the developers work that much faster as well. And that was really the beginning of it all. And from then, you know, that was probably 3 or 4 years ago. I'm not sure exactly how long ago that was, but we've just been continuing to improve upon it and get a tool that solves both that need of the front end stakeholder or QA team or whatever, giving them a place to very quickly see the work that's being done before it ever even gets merged in, and also having a way for developers to test their work and work on lots of different things all at the same time and be able to quickly push that work up, have a new environment created, and then go off work on something else without having to wait around to see, you know, did that update hook work or all that sort of stuff. So It's been pretty amazing and a lot of fun to work on.
So oversimplification time. I'm a developer and I'm on a project, and I've got a ticket, and I do the work for that ticket, and I make a pull request, and you can build a Tugboat environment that puts my work on top of the existing code base, and then you can see it, right? You can log in and click around and make sure it worked.
Yeah, and we're calling them previews. So it's supposed to be a preview of what that work would look like on the production environment if you were to release it immediately. And that's really what it boils down to, is, you know, trying to get it as agile as possible, in the same way that we're trying to iterate on the code as quickly as possible, and on new features and stuff. But sometimes things get bogged down in the process more than they do in just getting out new features and stuff. So this really speeds things up.
Matt, it seems like this is one of those projects that you've kind of latched onto and really helped to shepherd along. What's been your role, Matt?
Yeah, sure. I think James gave a really good summary of how it started, you know, based on a client need and wanting to create visibility into the dev process, which can sometimes feel like a black box. Even though we are using open source software, it's hard for non-technical people to stay connected in a technical project, in a software development project. So what James really wanted to solve was allowing stakeholders, marketing people, QA people to really come along in the journey of a dev project, where they didn't have to wait at the end of a 4-week sprint cycle, then have to wait for the code freeze, and then get everybody on the phone and then go through like 20 tickets and say, okay, you know, we changed the background color to blue. What does everyone think about that? Oh, and now we've also got a redesign. What does everyone think about that? Oh, and we add this new photo gallery. Was it? And like trying to parse all that at one time was really overwhelming. And so, you know, what we started with Tugboat was the ability to, as a feature or a bug fix or a new idea gets built out, Tugboat shoots out a URL, and now everybody can see it. You know, they just click on the URL and they go see that thing in action as if it were already in production. And it's great. And so my involvement in Tugboat actually was because I was a client. We were working on lullabot.com, and we were doing some crazy React stuff with the website, and it was all moving very quickly, and the team needed feedback from myself and Jeff Robbins and the other stakeholders. And so we used Tugboat, so we didn't have to try and build out local instances of the site on our laptop. We didn't need to keep that code up to date and worry about libraries and all of that kind of stuff. We would just get a URL on a ticket, and we'd say, and they'd say, hey, go take a look at this, click this link, and then give us feedback. So rather than like the super overwhelming QA cycle at the end where you've got like 20 tickets to try and parse out on the site, you get a ticket at a time, you get to review it, give feedback, and the developers seemed to like it too because they didn't have to wonder what we were thinking. They could actually push something up, get our feedback right away, and keep going and not have to kind of freak out about the code sprint at the end where, you know, maybe they hadn't even talked to the stakeholder during the whole process. So when I saw what it did for me, it made me feel empowered. It made me feel like I could be traveling or I could be doing multiple things and still doing my job as a stakeholder. I realized that was a really neat opportunity. And so, you know, my job is just to be an advocate and to help move Tugboat forward. You know, it went from the early days as a Jenkins project over to Docker and all this other wild stuff that Ben Chevet can talk about that I can barely keep up with. But, you know, the whole idea was just to really give visibility into these projects and to kind of do a we like to call it agile QA, you know, where the whole project management process has gone through several iterations, waterfall, scrum, agile, all of those. We think it's time to redefine the way QA works as well. But what we needed was tools to help us get there. And I think Tugboat is one of those tools that can make a project faster and make everybody have more fun and feel connected by seeing what's happening.
That's pretty awesome. So let's just kind of walk through the workflow with this, and I'll let Ben take this since he hasn't talked too much yet. Ben, how does this work from an end user point of view? I just create a pull request and it generates something. How do I know about that? How quick is it? Is there any interactions with it? There's a UI for it. Do I, as a user, have access to it? Like, just how does it work from an end user point of view?
Yeah. That's a lot of questions all in one. Yes, the answer is yes. Okay. So James already kind of touched on this a little bit. The basic interaction is that you as a developer create a pull request, and Tugboat builds that pull request and spits out a URL, and that's, you know, at the very basic level, that's your interaction with it. The URL gets posted back into your GitHub issue. So if you're watching the GitHub issue queue, you'll get email notification automatically and that sort of thing. There is a UI in kind of a pre-beta state. We're still working on it, haven't released it. Some of the Lullabots have been using it, though, where you can get those URLs, you can see all your projects and your previews all in one place. So yeah, there's that interaction. What were some of the other questions?
So let's talk about like interaction. You know, I can add a comment into my GitHub issue or GitHub pull request to have it rebuild. Is that correct?
A comment, not so much, but if you were to push new code to your pull request, then it would rebuild it so that the Tugboat preview is always up to date with what's in the pull request.
So what about if I go in, and this is more for my own information, so I create a pull request, Tugboat builds it, I go in and I accidentally screw up the database and stuff like that. Can I rebuild that environment? I mean, I know that it's obviously I'm screwing up the Tugboat database, not the production or development one. How does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. You can rebuild it. You can rebuild it from scratch and let Tugboat just completely do the whole thing over again. Or Tugboat actually will short circuit that for you. When it builds a preview, it saves an image of that preview. So if you screw it up completely, you can just hit the reset button and it just spins up a new instance from that snapshot. So it doesn't have to go through the whole build process again, and it's a lot faster.
I did not know that. That's pretty awesome. How long does the build process take? I mean, I know it's variable, but like, give me some examples.
Yes, yeah, it is variable based on what your build scripts do. If you don't have any build scripts, it's almost instantaneous. It's using Docker images and containers to clone the environment that you're building from, and that is nearly instantaneous. It's incredibly fast.
So what about if I have like a, I don't know, a Drupal site with, I don't know, 10,000 nodes or something like that, just random Drupal site, what would you guess would a build time be?
If you're talking with like feature updates and that sort of thing?
Obviously, yes.
Yeah.
with the FU, with yeah. the Drush FU, yeah.
Right. That, again, it depends on how many features you're updating.
So are we talking minutes, hours, 10 minutes? What are you thinking?
It's typically minutes.
Yeah. All right.
I guess however long it takes you to run Drush, you know, features revert all and Drush CC all and that sort of stuff on your local, you could guess it'd probably be about that long on Tugboat as well.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Where does the database come from? That's one of the big things that, you know, doesn't come along with your code is you have, you know, content and other configuration that might be in your database. And not
well, when a mama database loves a papa database, oh. they get together and they start to make SQL statements.
Okay.
Is that what you were going for?
Maybe.
Do you have to join two tables to make that work?
I think so.
You guys are geeks.
No, I can't answer the question. I just want to insert snarky commentary.
I think we better ask the sysadmin.
I can take this one because okay. I thought this was really cool. It's been a little while since I'd used a used Tugboat on a project, and what's been set up now is it makes it very quick to spin up a new preview because what you're doing is creating a base instance that you actually get a URL to view, but you can set up scripts to run nightly or really any periodic time to pull down your databases from a different server production or to or from staging, wherever is the most convenient for you, and it'll pull in the master code base as well, and creates a base preview. So from that, anytime you create a new pull request and it spins up a new preview, it's basically copying and pasting, so to speak, the base preview. And so that spins up very quickly. And then as Ben was explaining, if you screw something up on there and you need to rebuild a preview from a pull request, you can either rebuild it, which completely copies everything from the base again, or you can just reset it, which just sort of wipes your changes off the page, and you get to start over from that preview.
Cool. So how does Tugboat notify you that this build is ready? Like, how do you have access to that build?
So yeah, there are a couple of ways. The way that it seems to go typically is so Tugboat can post back to the GitHub pull request issue queue. And post a message in there with the URL. We also have a plugin system, and we have an email plugin that will just email you directly out of Tugboat if you choose to do it that way.
Yeah, one of my favorite things just is so Tugboat will basically create a custom URL. It'll be, I don't know, however many weird characters, random stuff. It's all over HTTPS, and it'll throw it with a GitHub issue queue comment, which then GitHub will do the notification of that. At least that's how I've worked with it in the future. And what's kind of cool is it comes on all your different devices, right? So it'll come down on my iPhone. It'll come in on my Windows computer. So at that point, I can just click the URL directly within my iPhone, bring it up, and I'm working with an actual device, not any type of emulation. And at the same thing, I can go back to my, you know, my Windows computer and open it up with IE and, you know, make sure that works well too. And it just kind of saves that whole step of copying and pasting or emailing or going to browser stack or doing emulation, which is iffy sometimes and all that type of stuff. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and that was designed intentionally. We really wanted to let the tech get out of the way so people could get the work done. So rather than building a whole notification architecture ourselves, we realized that most of the work that happened or most of the workflow is in GitHub in the ticketing system, which already handles notifications and stuff. And since the team is already working in a ticketing environment, posting a comment back to the ticketing environment, having Tugboat do that and giving the URL is really the best workflow. And then we also wanted the when you click on the URL to view the preview site, that there wasn't a whole login system, or because you know people aren't. We already have enough logins and stuff to remember, so we use secure URLs, randomly generated URLs, as a way to protect the environments. But also, most of these environments aren't spun up very long, maybe a week or two at a time, and then they're rebuilt or torn down again, and new URLs are provided. So we really wanted a way for people to participate on the go, and to have very little context shifting when doing so. I should also point out that right now Tugboat works with GitHub. We're looking at what ones are we looking at, Ben? Bitbucket and Stash as well are things that are on the roadmap for us.
Ben, can you talk a little bit more about what's happening on the back end? How is this actually working? I heard Docker containers was in the mix. What else is going on?
Yeah, so Docker is kind of the heart of it, because it handles the images and cloning incredibly well. The service itself is running on a Node.js platform, which just interacts with the Docker API. So how it works under the hood then is that when you first get things set up, you create that base preview, which was mentioned before, and that is just where everything starts from. So that gets put into your Docker images, and then when Tugboat detects that a new pull request was created, it just clones that Docker image and creates new containers for it, which gives us a lot of really cool flexibility. Not only can we spin up containers for your preview, but we can spin up parallel containers for things like testing or other things that we haven't thought of, like A/B testing, maybe even for example.
That's pretty awesome.
This is something that has been used on Lullabot projects now for, I don't know, what, James, you started something like 3 years ago or something?
Yep.
So what all have we used it on? Well, maybe not what all have we used it on. What are some examples that we've used it on? I know I've used it on Sci-Fi when I first started at Lullabot, and honestly, there was a period of time when I initially started Sci-Fi where we did not have Tugboat. And then at that point, Tugboat was set up by James, and it was amazing how the velocity of development increased. It was honestly really surprising and awesome. So what else have we used it on?
I know MSNBC, they're still using it, and we're no longer on the project with them. And that, you know, it's become a critical part of their workflow, their development workflow. We're currently using it for Cisco. We're doing some work for Cisco. We used it on the Grammys project. We were working on a redesign for them.
A lot of the projects that Tugboat tends to be tailored for are the kind of projects that Lullabot works on. So enterprise clients, really large platforms with a lot of moving pieces. You know, that's what we've architected the Tugboat experience around. So like the Grammys, Bravo, Sci-Fi, and some other ones that we can't mention, but they keep us busy. I think there's other platforms that are better geared for the consumer level experience, where maybe the needs are less. You don't need as much database size, or you don't need as many concurrent builds. But what Tugboat tries to be is for those projects that have a lot of, you know, usually there's a lot of development teams. There might be a redesign happening at the same time that content migration is happening, at the same time that new content types are being built out. And what's really important in those projects is the communication and collaboration of all of these teams moving simultaneously. So luckily, we've got the smart folks at Lullabot, like James and Ben Chavez and Jared Bittner and others, that have just put a lot of time and effort in making sure that Tugboat scales for those kinds of projects.
So do you need to be a Lullabot client, like a current Lullabot client, to use Tugboat? Are we just selling it? And if we are just selling it, like, how does it get set up? Like, what does that look like?
Sure. Yeah, I can talk to some of that. So if you are a client of Lullabot, then what we do is we give Tugboat for free for anybody that's a client of Lullabot as part of our service offering. And then for other people that are interested in it, you know, Drupal's a really good match for Tugboat, but I should add that it's any project, any web-based project that is Linux-based is really where Tugboat excels. So Lullabot happens to have a lot of experience with Drupal, but Node, WordPress, other kinds of content management systems are also things that Tugboat is very, very capable of. And the way it works right now is we have one offering. Again, this is geared towards the enterprise market, so it's kind of a white glove service. But it's $9.99 a month for a site, and it's unlimited builds, unlimited users, and we'll work with you to get your site up and running. And if we do find that it's a good match, if we have a conversation, it's not, you know, you push a magic button and it goes. We definitely have got install scripts and all that kind of stuff, but we really want to make sure that you're going to have a lot of success on the platform. So we want to ask things about your database storage and your files and that sort of stuff and make sure that we can set it up perfectly for your needs. But if we find that it is a good match, we'll also do something like give a month or two for free so that you get a chance to use it and kick the tires. But we're really excited about it. We've continued to get good feedback. We've got a version of Tugboat that we host for you, and we host all the previews for you. And then we have some other clients that, for whatever kind of security restrictions, need to not have their information live in the cloud. So we also have an on-premise offering for clients who need to run Tugboat on their own hardware as well.
So one of the things that you mentioned in there that is one of the things I love is just the whole unlimited builds. You know, so when I was working with it, if I literally adjusting a margin by a couple pixels, Tugboat will kick up an instance and it will shoot it to everybody and they can go to that one thing and then bam, you know, it makes everything just so easy.
Yeah, we really wanted to get out of the way didn't want to dictate how people work. You know, it's hosting agnostic, whatever hosting platform, hosting company you work with. We really wanted to make sure that it was just there to enhance what was being done, to make the system more collaborative rather than to put yet another set of restrictions on there. And I think that's just Lullabot's culture. Our clients come to us very much with their own development processes preferences already, and we want to make sure that we're working with those and not against them.
We have a host of Lullabots around the table. We're talking about Tugboat, a product Lullabot's been working on that's redefining the way QA works.
Oh, wow, that's some great marketing.
We'll hear more coming up right after this.
Hey!
Hey, sales and marketing lead Andrew Wilson for Drupalize Me. How's it going?
Hey, it's good. How are you?
Awesome. Hey, I was looking at the Drupalize Me blog, and there was a blog post about something that I thought was fairly exciting, support memberships.
Yeah, so we snuck that in there.
How's that work?
It's pretty cool. So we realized that at the end of the day, you're going to learn best when you actually are sitting down with a teacher. So we added a tier of membership to make that possible. We've got our trainers, Amber, Blake, Addy, Will, Joe. All of them are available to mentor and advise with regard to our training material, but really any topic. And that allows us to cover things that we haven't even created tutorials for. So we're really excited, especially with Drupal 8. We think that this is in high demand. You know, people needing to ramp up on Drupal 8 real fast. We've got the resources for them.
So this isn't like, hey, Blake, can you write this module for me? This is more like a, hey, Blake, I watched your video, but this is confusing to me, right?
A little bit. So we're not going to write code for you because we believe that doesn't really help you learn how to write the code. We're going to help you learn how to write the code. It doesn't necessarily have to be about one of our videos or one of our tutorials. It could be about anything. But again, we're not gonna do the work for you. We're gonna help you learn how to do the work.
Say I run an organization with a bunch of Drupal developers, and I think this is a good idea for my people. Are you gonna work with organizations like that, or?
That is who we're gonna work with. Yeah, that's our sweet spot. We think that professional development is really important for every organization, and they should have resources available for their team. And we see this as an excellent resource.
If I run this hypothetical bunch of Drupal developers, I should call Andrew Wilson at Drupalize Me, right? Or
you definitely should do so.
How do I get a hold of you?
You can email me at andrew@drupalize.me, or of course you can just go to the website where we have added that support membership tier and submit the form. Just fill out your name and email, and I will be sure to contact you.
Hypothetical me is going to get right on that.
I love it. Thank you.
Is there anything else that you think you should add about this?
Oh, gosh. I guess I should plug our Drupal 8 theming series again. We've got a ton of tutorials, and I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but we've got more coming this month in the theming series. We're just adding to that. So if you're interested in theming in Drupal 8, check them out.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Andrew Wilson.
Matt Cleave. Have a good one.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Lullabot Podcast, episode number 182, and today we're talking about tugboats and various different ways of moving your barges around rivers. And
navigable
stuff.
Rivers.
Navigable rivers. Thank you. It does not work on streams.
No.
We are with Ben Chavez, Chris Albrecht, James Sansbury, Matt Westgate, and Matt Cleave, and myself, Mike Herschel. So where does the name tugboat come from? Who came up with that, and why?
You know, naming things is hard. I'll start by saying that. Blake, I think we can actually attribute the original idea of calling it tugboat to Blake Hall, who's now over with Lullabot Education on the Drupalize Me team. And I think it stemmed from the idea of pull requests. But Blake really should be answering this question, but I'll just run with it. So the idea of pull requests and, you know, a tugboat's one of those nice nouns that gives you a lot of good imagery of things being pulled along. And so using that metaphor over on the code and process workflow of these projects that we're working on, that's where it all came from. And we struggled with the name for a long time. Like we called it Tugboat, and then we had some. Even after that, we were like, we don't think this is right. Like the name of our company is Lullabot, and we have this big red robot. And then where does this boat come from? Like this doesn't really fit if we're thinking about this as like a Lullabot brand. But we kept coming back to it. We tried a couple other things and. You know, tried to run with those for a little bit, and then it just really stuck. And I think now it's here to stay, and it's become the brand, and even kind of branched out into its own new little areas. So we have an internal joke that has now become like an external part of the actual product, and that is if you switch the B and the G in the center of Tugboat. You end up with Tubgoat, which we actually found an image online of a goat in a tub. And this just, I mean, we were dying laughing, like looking at this picture. And and so now on the new Tugboat GUI interface, if you go to a 404 page, you actually present it with a couple different images of goats in tubs. And maybe this is only funny to us, but we're having a lot of fun with it for sure.
What I think is the funny part to that, just to add a footnote, is while we thought it was funny to have a picture of a goat in a tub, one of our team members, Jared Bittner, actually knew someone with goats that had a tub. And so he went out and recruited them and took several. We had a photo session with a goat in a bathtub. Made it to our 404 page.
I should clarify, this is a tub like out in a field too. Like it's not, you know, like, it's I don't know, it's pretty hilarious.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So let's talk about like how this helps out developers. And I have some thoughts on this, but I want to hear from everybody else. You know, like, give me some scenarios where this like really speeds up your developers' workflows and that it can help out and stuff like that.
Chris, I want to hear from you. You were kind of on the outside of the development of the project and definitely are on the user side now.
I haven't done too much towards the development of it. I've definitely had a lot of use of it and presented a lot of feedback for it. And now that I've been getting it set up on a new project, trying to introduce it to this new team, we've been getting a lot of positive feedback from it so far. One of the big things that it's been helping me out with is that we have a sort of a big epic that we're working on, you know, revamping an entire section of the site. Meanwhile, the other developers are still pumping out changes for separate sections. And I've got a number of tickets that each need to be done individually, but I want to see how those stack up and get review on each of those separately on a separate branch of the site without committing anything back to master. And so I have a tugboat environment set up from a pull request that's on the Epic ticket. And from that Epic ticket, there are a number of smaller branch tickets that I've been working on one by one. And so as I build out those separate branch tickets, those also get their own pull request. But those pull requests have a base of the Epic branch instead of master. And so as I'm completing those, I can test those separately, make sure they look good off of that base. And once they do, I merge those into the base. But then I show that base branch, that Epic branch, in its own tugboat environment, in its own preview, to the QA team and to the marketing team and to everyone else who needs to look at it to see that I'm implementing things the way they want to do to make sure it's matching up with the comps, that the designs are fitting. And so we can actually show that to that URL that Tugboat created for us to a number of different people around the company while the other developers are still over there working on their separate pieces. And it allows me to keep that flow moving without having to interrupt everyone else and say, hey, can I check this out onto a dev server somewhere so that we can show this and make sure it looks good? Because this is taking a number of weeks, a month and a half to get the entire thing together. So without Tugboat, it really is kind of like working in a cave for me. I would have had to put everything together on my own and then sort of schedule a time on a calendar here, a little bit there, to borrow a server, to check it out to a dev server, to have somebody else come and take a look at it and say, yeah, that's good, that's not good. Or I just got to wait until the end and hope I did it all right, which always works perfectly. So it's been such an invaluable tool for us that way to be able to start building out these sections as their own tugboat environments and actually have sort of third level tugboat previews that go along with those to test bits and pieces along with a separate base and then eventually get sign off on everything and that'll all be merged into the master branch. And it involves everybody in the company, not just the developers. I'm doing primarily back-end work, a little bit of design and front-end stuff, but we're getting the project managers involved and the marketing team who ultimately makes the decisions about what goes where on the page, they're getting involved with it too and are able to check it as the process goes through instead of waiting until the end and then having them come back and say, actually, we're going to rearrange everything, start over, which has happened before on some cases. So it's nice to have that review process as it's being built out instead of waiting until the end.
That's pretty awesome. One of my favorite things with Tugboat is much less involved than what you went through. But have you ever, like, you know, you're working with features and you do your Drush FU, thank you, James, and then you look at your features and you're like, you're doing your git diff and you see that there's a whole bunch of stuff that's changed. You know, some of the stuff you want to add, some you don't. So you do your git add-p so you can just, like, granularly select what you want to add to your commit. And so you add that commit and you push it up and you're like, well, I hope this feature works. I hope this commit works, right? And, you know, prior to Tugboat will just tell you right away, like, it'll spin it up and it's either going to work or it's not going to work, and it's fantastic. You know, prior to that, it would have to go to a dev server, and then dev server is kind of in this middle-of-the-place area. And just the fact that Tugboat can help out with that has saved me, I don't know, hours and hours, which, you know, is fantastic.
Yeah, I think, you know, that risk too of pushing all to a central dev server when things haven't been tested. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever been in that scenario when, oh, whoops, I just pushed up some code that brought the dev server down because it had an update hook that just completely failed or something. And so then your afternoon is spent trying to fix the dev server because you pushed up some code that, you know, it created a schema that you know, had this bug in it or something like that, and then things started falling over on each other. So then you have to, like, either restore dev from an older database backup, you know, pull the code back over, you know, revert the merge commit or whatever and all that stuff, and it just kind of can ruin your afternoon, which is definitely a huge time saver, because a lot of times I'll push up code that I think is perfectly fine to the Tugboat branch, and then or to the GitHub branch, and then Tugboat will spin up a preview for it, and lo and behold, it will fail in the update process. I'm like, crap, it worked on my local. You know, you've heard that,
yeah,
that so many times. It worked on my local, and it's just that first step. It's that first test, that sanity check of your code. Like, did it actually work?
We had a situation, James, on a project that I was working on with you, where Tugboat actually showed a bug before anybody else realized it, because Tugboat had a more updated version of the code base. So on my local, it worked fine, and on the front-end developer's local, it worked fine. But on Tugboat, it totally didn't work, and we're trying to figure out why that was, and it was because Tugboat was actually more up-to-date than our locals, and it had another, you know, I think it was a core upgrade or something that might have happened, and there was an issue where, yeah, there was a problem with the way the query was being generated. So Tugboat caught a bug before we even realized we had a bug.
Yeah, because what Tugboat will do is it'll actually merge the work in as if the pull request had been merged. So you're actually testing the code as it would be as if the pull request was merged. And in this particular scenario, like if you're testing on your local, you're just testing on the branch that you're on. You're not testing merged in with a bunch of other people's work as well. So you can definitely find some bugs pretty early with that.
Another thing that I really like Tugboat from the front end perspective is if you're making some CSS changes, you know, like one of the, I don't know, I would definitely call a downside of CSS is you can have some unintended consequences. If you modify something, you modify, you know, the styling of your H1 tag or H2 tag, it's going to affect a lot of the site right there. So you spin up its own environment just with those modifications, and at that point you can, you know, in one case we had a third party QA team, and another, you know, in a lot of different cases, you know, we're obviously doing ourselves, but it makes it really easy for you to do it, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and to that end, I mean, what we're talking about is being able to build multiple QA environments on the fly, right? Which is pretty incredible. Oftentimes in projects you'll have one QA server that everybody's kind of fighting for, competing for its resources, or, you know, in bigger projects you might have two, but that's only two QA environments. And so what we wanted to do with Tugboat is what if you had access, like imagine having access to unlimited QA environments and just spinning them up and taking them down when you need it, and rather than having someone's job being to build these things out week after week, what if that was just all relegated to computers? What if that was just all happening in the background so we could keep doing our work, you know, keep doing our most productive work on the project? And that's what I get excited about, because it, you know, not only does it save money, but it also, it delegates the stuff that's less fun about the project, where, you know, our brains could be used for solving bugs and making new features and creative programming, and having more cycles for that than just basically turning computers off and on.
So I have a good example of how this would help developers. So I'm not a developer by trade, other than for Tugboat. So I don't have all of like the development tools and libraries and whatnot installed on my local machine. And typically when I get pulled into something, it's for some little one-off thing. So I've used Tugboat as a substitute for setting up a local environment even. So I'll check out the Git code, make my changes to whatever, create a pull request, and then let Tugboat spin it up. So I don't need to mess with, you know, getting the right PHP version or whatever other tools I might need on my local setup. I just let Tugboat do it, and that saves me a lot of hassle when I don't have to be in that project for very long. I'm just touching little bits and pieces of it every now and then.
Ben, I think that's technically cheating.
Wait, I'm not sure I caught that, Ben. Were you using Tugboat to QA Tugboat?
I am using Tugboat to QA Tugboat, in fact.
So meta. So that sounds like it's pretty flexible. Can you speak to the flexibility of Tugboat and what kind of projects? See, I'm thinking of somebody who's like, yeah, but my setup is tricky. Tugboat won't work for me.
Yeah, sure. So Tugboat is very agnostic to what type of project you put into it. But the requirements are really very low. Basically, it has to work on Linux, and it has to be, you know, a web-based project. In order, you know, because that's how we serve the results. So Lullabot typically does Drupal projects, so we have a lot of Drupal stuff in it. We also have some Node.js stuff in Tugboat. But really what it comes down to is that when we set up Tugboat for a project, we're setting it up with essentially what is just a group of servers that are then cloned. So on the webhead server, we would put like Apache and PHP and Drupal and whatnot on there for Drupal. If you had a Ruby project, we'd put Ruby on there instead of PHP. Or if you had a Tomcat project, we'd put that on there instead. And you can have your pick of databases, ISQL, Mongo, you know, whatever the latest and greatest is. It doesn't matter. As long as it can be installed on Linux, we can install it on your Tugboat environment, and then it just gets copied and cloned. So it's really very flexible there.
Let's talk about the user interface of actual Tugboat. I know there's an administration screen, and there's different roles. What does that do? How do I interact with that? And, you know, what's the point of it, really?
Yeah, you built it. I use it. And it's been pretty amazing. The first couple times that I used Tugboat while it was still in development, when we were back on Sci-Fi and Blaster, really all we had to tell the number of instances that had been spun up and what was sitting on the server was we had to SSH into the box and take a look at how many directories were sitting there that were named after pull requests. And, you know, if something happens to get stuck for a long time, then you could easily max out the resources on the system and not really be aware of it. So now that this interface is in place, wow, it is, I mean, everything that we were writing scripts for and going and checking manually using the command line is now sitting there in front of you on a nice, easy-to-use interface. So you can easily see how many different instances are set up on the server right now, how many pull requests have generated previews, what status each one of those is in. You can, just by clicking the mouse, reset an instance, rebuild an instance, or a preview is the proper term to use there. You can configure your base preview as well from the UI. And it tells you how long it's been there, how much... you can get the logs for each one of them, so you can actually follow through to see if you were expecting a script to run on a build, why it didn't run, or why something's not looking the way it's supposed to, or if it failed completely. You actually get a full log from the server that you can browse through, which will, it looks like in the last update now, updates live for you, so you can sit there and watch it as it's building and see all the processes that are going through without having to know the command line, without having to SSH into the box to see what's happening. It's an awesome, awesome tool. It makes it so much easier to manage everything at once or to quickly reset, rebuild something if it didn't go through right.
So to me, it sounds like what Git did for branches, Tugboat is doing for QA environments. They're easily created. They're disposable. They're flexible. Yeah?
That's a great way of putting it.
That's more marketing. I'm typing this in there, Matt. You just keep on going.
Yeah, it really has taken all the manual thought out of it. You know, as you're working, you have a branch, you go into GitHub and create a pull request, and instantly you've got a Tugboat server, Tugboat preview for that branch ready to go. And with using Docker to set up the previews, it really, for us, even with a large database, a couple minutes, if that, maybe 60, 90 seconds, and you've got a preview ready to go. If you realize you screw something up and you need to push more code, you simply push more code to that branch, it rebuilds the Tugboat preview, and another 60, 90 seconds, whatever, you've got it all set and ready to go again, and the URL is ready to share with whoever needs to look at it.
Chris, how big is your big database?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the project I'm on right now, we actually have three separate databases that we need. One is the primary Drupal database, and there are two supplementary databases.
Okay.
I'll say this. Using Drush to sync it, because I don't know the actual file size right now. One of them is close to a gig, I think. But using Drush to sync them down from the staging server, it takes about an hour and a half to get all three of them synced down to the base instance, the base preview. And so we have that set up to run every night right now, around midnight Eastern time. And so we just let that run while no one's working on it. And then to actually create a tugboat preview from the base instance, like I said, about 60, 90 seconds. And I don't know what sort of Ben or magic Ben put in there to make it do that, but it's amazing.
We actually have bigger than that. We've got one client that's got about a 50 gigabyte database. Their update takes on the order of like 8 hours to do. And so we have that run once a week on Sunday night because otherwise it would just be in the way. And that clones just as fast as any of the smaller databases.
It must be resource intensive though, having 50 gigs spread out across however many environments.
So the way the Docker does it is it does a copy on write sort of cloning. So when you clone the database, you're not actually cloning anything. You're just making a pointer into the same data file. And then it updates things in its pointers as you make changes to your environment's database.
Sounds like a magical place.
It kind of is.
So let's talk open source. Like, parts of this are open source, is that correct? Or not? If not, just like cut this question out.
I can talk about that from some of a sort of a larger perspective, and then I'm sure the folks will have some other stuff to add.
Yeah.
Open source is important to Lullaby. It's important to sort of our philosophy of doing great things in the world. We want Tugboat to be open source. There might be parts of it are, but right now, what we're doing is we're actually spending a lot of time talking about the sustainable business model behind open source, because what we've seen is we've put lots of things out into the world in the past, and what we really care and love Tugboat, and what we want to do is anything we put out there, we want to be able to support it. And so in order to support it, we have to come up with a sustainable business model ourselves. Mm-hmm. Back when we were talking about the roadmap of Tugboat, I think it was 2 years ago, we all got together and spent a week sort of hashing out the details. We identified four things that we wanted to do with Tugboat. The last thing that we wanted to do was open source it after we kind of got the business model figured out. I'll tell you, we're on number two of four right now. And number three is close by. I'm not going to say what it is, what the next big thing for Tugboat is. But I think we're well on our way to getting to a place where we have a model that not only supports the jobs that Tugboat will create, but also allow us to support open source as well, which is both really important to us. Now, James, Ben, Chris, I don't know if there's smaller details inside of Tugboat that are currently open, but I'll leave that question to you guys.
Yeah, I think as far as the licensing stuff goes, it's hard to open up the doors and then later be like, well, wait a minute, actually, we wanted to have this particular door closed. Like, once you open up those doors, it's, you know, at that point, it's you can't close them anymore. And so, you know, we just wanted to be a little careful, like Matt was saying, about making sure we could protect the thing itself and be able to support it ongoing. And so, you know, we started out more on the conservative side and having all the doors closed, which is kind of, you know, it does go against the way Lullabot has worked. So it is a part of the plan, like Matt was saying, but right now, you know, we just are playing it safe on the one side and then making sure that when we make the decision to open the doors, we're doing it in the right way and in the right places. So that it both makes sure that Tugboat will be here for the long term and then also empowers as many people out there as possible to, you know, create their own amazing tools that might serve their own purpose that Tugboat just can't serve. Tugboat the product, not Tugboat the whatever iteration of open source software it ends up being.
If someone wanted to read something, I understand there's a website. Yeah, if they wanted to see what Tugboat's all about.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's tugboat.qa. It's the website.
What a clever URL. So tugboat.qa, and if somebody says, holy crap, we need this for our organization, how do they do that? What, do they need to get a hold of Lullabot?
Yeah, just reach out to us. There's a contact form on the website. We'll get back to you quickly. It'll probably be myself that will respond. This is a project near and dear to my heart. I've seen how hard the rest of the Lullabot team has worked on this, and I'm not so good with the ones and zeros anymore, but I can hunt and peck my way around a keyboard to form words. So I'd love to get in touch, talk about your needs, and do a little demonstration and see if it's a good fit. We've got a lot of happy clients right now on Tugboat, and we'd love to have more.
Chris, do you have anything to add? You seem to be a satisfied user.
Yeah, very satisfied. I'm just excited to see all the new stuff that keeps coming out with it. I had a gap between the last time I used it and setting it up on this project, and I'm just blown away by the improvements that have been made so far. So it's absolutely worth a try if you can get your hands on it, and it makes the process go so much faster.
So, Ben, this is something you've been working on and off for a while now. It must be exciting to see the light of day finally.
It is. It's been a lot of fun, and yeah, I am definitely excited to see this get launched.
And, James, it's your baby. Do you have anything you want to add?
It is. It's just been exciting seeing all the stuff that's happened that, you know, Jared Bittner and Ben have been working on, and seeing all the little ideas come to life. And there's so many more ideas that we have, and just seeing like us continue to move towards that stuff, and empowering our clients and empowering our developers to continue to kick ass. It's been, man, it's just an exciting product, I think, for all that.
Matt, do you have any final words of wisdom?
No, not so much. The whole mission of Tugboat is to share work as it happens. We find that increases collaboration, and right now there's just been a gap between technical implementation and non-technical feedback, and so we really want to bring that closer. It makes better projects. Everybody feels connected, and so if Tugboat can do that for the world, and so far it is, that's a huge win just for the whole software development lifecycle in general. So we really feel like we've found a need out there in the marketplace, and we're getting some really positive feedback, and would love other people's thoughts and feedbacks on the platform as well.
That's pretty awesome. So that's website is Tugboat QA, and it is on Twitter at, what is the URL? Is it?
I believe it's Tugboat QA.
Tugboat QA.
Awesome. Well, thanks everybody for coming on the podcast talking about it. And honestly, I love Tugboat, so I've been excited about doing this one for a little while. So thanks everybody, and till next time.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
The proceeding probably sounded a lot like a commercial announcement for Tugboat from Lullabot. The views expressed belong to its participants and not necessarily those of Lullabot, the Internet, or Major League Baseball. We're sorry for the hour-long plug, but honestly, we're pretty excited about Tugboat. Next episode, we'll have more Drupal goodness, I promise. I hope no goats were harmed in the making of this podcast.